For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
You like that one?
You like that?
It was clever.
You like that?
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Caleb Williams, you want that guy out there as the voice of your franchise. When he did that bear claw symbol with his hand, that was kind of his way of saying, hey, I'm one of you now.
Maybe that was the missing link all these years of evaluating quarterbacks. It's like, oh, this guy's got the talent to play the position. Maybe not in Chicago, though. Maybe
The Kenny Williams idea of Chicago tough actually Chicago, matters.
Like Mitch Trubisky can play the position, but he doesn't have the other stuff. He doesn't have he drives a, whatever, Ford Tempo or whatever the hell.
Honda Civic.
Caleb walked in day one wearing a $75,000 watch.
Amen.
With the five Honda Civics.
I got a couple watches. It's one of my, I enjoy watches.
I wear a $15,000 Rolex. There's so many diamonds, we can't tell what time it is.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Woo! Jason Leisure covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He also was nice enough to drop by this show and talk with us about the Bears and whatnot. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. So, Jason, after further review, we really liked Ben Johnson's poem today.
I thought it was good. He got up there. The poem thing is interesting because Pat McCaskey usually delivers some type of poem at this event. And Ben Johnson got up there and said he was going to read a poem. And he had kind of a little smirk to his face. I thought, oh, is this going to be like a little joke? And then it was extremely serious. It was a very well done, very serious poem about Brian Piccolo and courage and, transcending football. It was really good. He said he had some outside help. I don't know that he wrote that. At least he was not the only person that wrote it, but it was pretty good. I was impressed. And it shows such a difference between Ben Johnson and Matt Eberflus stepping into this job. I mean, Ben Johnson just seems so comfortable at every turn and totally gets what he needs to do in this role beyond being a great strategist.
You know what I realized it also shows, and I'm so glad that, you know, we're talking about it again here, is that the McCaskies needed to allow a head coach to be the face of the franchise in a way that they have frankly felt an awkwardness about for decades. Yeah. We've talked about it a lot. And here is Ben Johnson even being the face of this thing today, which gives it a higher profile, and here we are discussing it a few different times, and he gave it the emotional resonance that they still wanted. So kudos to them for allowing Ben to be the face of even this today.
He did a great job. If you think about what's being asked of him in that situation, just the tact and the awareness to come in and honor players from last year's team that he didn't coach.
Yeah.
At a ceremony that he has no familiarity with prior to this. And still in his, he's about 3 months into the job, still able to embrace and really acclimate and put himself in the middle of Bears tradition. And all of that will not matter at all if they're 0-6 or something this year. But it just shows such a good sense of working a room and knowing what's expected and being able to be a personality and just acclimate to your new workplace.
It was very cool. It was a very cool moment overall. And now there's a lot of work to be done. We had a reaction, and we threw out the caveat, it's lying season. But we both thought it was kind of interesting that Ryan Poles didn't dismiss the idea of Darnell Wright moving to left tackle. Was that strategy, or is that something that they're actually thinking of?
They have been talking about this, to my knowledge, since last year. There was a point last year where Braxton Jones was not playing well early in the season, and there were already discussions about Darnell Wright could play left tackle and Karan Amagaji maybe in 2025 could be right tackle. You've got to come up with a solution at the time with pieces you have. Now you have new pieces in place. You have a new interior offensive line, and you have this number 10 pick where you could get the second, anywhere from the first to the third best offensive tackle in this draft. And if you take a guy who is predominantly a right tackle, I think they have a lot of confidence in moving Darnell Wright to the left side, which he played a significant amount of time there at Tennessee.
Boy, it's interesting. Taylor Decker was a first-round pick in, what, 2016? Longtime left tackle for the Detroit Lions. But Penei Sewell, their badass, is on the right. Like, I wonder what matters to Ben. And it's a difficult thing to get a handle on without him having to talk specifically about his guys just yet. I wonder which side matters more depending on how much he plays tight ends next to them, et cetera, Jason. It's an interesting thing to consider.
I think what'll matter the most is being able to have two really top tackles. And if that means that Darnell Wright has to move to the left side to accommodate someone coming in on the right side, so be it. That gives you two good left tackles. I spend a lot of time looking into this, and I've talked about it on the show before. If you look at the best offensive lines in the league, there are premium resources invested in that. Mm-hmm. And other than Darnell Wright as a number 10 draft pick, the only other premium resource that the Bears, that Ryan Poles' administration had invested in the offensive line was the contract for Nate Davis, which obviously didn't work out until this year in the trade free agency market where they invested premium resources in terms of dollars or, dollars via trade acquisitions to rebuild the interior of the line. So now you have, starting at left guard all the way over to Darnell Wright at right tackle, you have four guys where you have invested premium resources in the offensive line. It would be odd to me to now go backward from that and say, well, Braxton Jones is good enough and we're not going to invest the fifth premium resource to complete the offensive line. And really, more than anything, that helps Caleb Williams, which is the most important thing you can do in your building right now.
You asked Ian Cunningham what has changed in terms of their offensive line evaluation. He said, good question, and then really didn't answer it. So what do you
say? Isn't that a typical response? That's always great. Yeah, great question that I'll never answer for you in public.
What do you suspect has changed? I mean, you just spoke to the resources as part of it.
I think it's that. I think it's I think that Ryan Poles has conveyed a different level of humility ever since they fired Matt Eberflus. There has been, I think, a reset and of their awareness of what they don't know. It's easy when you're a team run by two former offensive linemen to think you know something that the rest of the league doesn't about someone that you're bringing in. And it's just usually not the case in the NFL. I mean, there's probably, out of 32 GMs, there's probably three that really know stuff that other people don't. And then there's three that don't know stuff that everyone knows. And then there's everyone else is the same. I mean, you're not seeing something in a player like Braxton Jones that the rest of the league isn't most of the time.
Lawrence, I used to say that they had the arrogance of first-timers. You know?
Yes.
These guys, Poles and Flus, both had it.
Yeah, we're new and we're here to change. We're disruptors and we're going to change the way things look. And then they're like, oh, we did not do a great job of any of that. We've talked so much about the offensive line, and they made a lot of good moves on that offensive line. And you kind of answered one of the things that was swimming around my head about the upgrades on the offensive line. Does that make Braxton Jones better? I want to flip over to the defensive line for a second. They're not done, right? Like they it seems like the defensive line to me is still a little light, and it would make sense for that to be a focus of the draft.
And I think it might be. When you're listening to what people are saying publicly this time of year, you've really got to read between the lines, and they're going to say less of substance the closer that we get to the draft. The one thing I feel like Ryan Poles has tipped his hand on a little bit, if you go back to, I want to say it was maybe mid-March, early March, he was talking about the Eagles and the importance that that illustrated of having so many starting caliber players in your defensive line rotation. And the Eagles have a second string defensive line that's probably better than some of the first string defensive lines the Bears have had in the last few years. Defensive line has been a really, really rough road for Poles and Cunningham. The only real headway they've made in addressing that prior to this year was Montez Sweat. I believe they have the fewest sacks in the league over Poles' tenure. So you have four starters right now, but there would be nothing wrong with adding a defensive tackle or a defensive end with that number 10 pick, whether that player starts over somebody or that he plays behind somebody for now. My preference, my clear top priority would be offensive tackle. But if they went defensive end or defensive tackle at 10, I wouldn't hate the move. I don't think that would be a big mistake.
I can't figure out which defensive end it is, though. All the people that we've talked to, and everyone seems to have a different guy, whether it's one guy from Georgia or the other guy from Georgia, or some people like the guy from Marshall. And it's like, and all these names keep coming up. So that combined with Dennis Allen's lack of, you know, historic preference for building around a speedy edge rusher because he gets pressure from other places, makes me come off the defensive end a little bit at that pick, Jason.
I get that. That makes sense. If you're drafting a defensive end at number 10, you're thinking this guy is going to be an all-pro Hall of Fame candidate down the road. So if you don't see that, you need to, if you're drafting anybody at 10, you're believing that and anticipating that. So you need to draft somebody that has the talent to live up to that. It's a weird, weird draft because of what you just mentioned, Matt, about the defensive ends. I would say the same thing pretty much about the offensive tackles. I mean, there's four or five guys that might go in the first round, and there's not an overwhelming, just conclusive consensus about who the top guy is or who the top two guys are. I mean, I've seen Will Campbell by reputable people mocked to go fourth, and I've seen him going between 10 and 12th. I've seen Armand Membu, the first guy taken. I've seen ESPN Scouts Inc. has Kelvin Banks of Texas as the number two offensive tackle in their grading system. It's really all over the place. And, I mean, the quarterbacks are kind of like, it's a really strange draft this year.
I'd love to know what your process is. I just know when I was covering the team, when the draft came around, you get all this information like in your head about the possibilities and position groups and all this stuff. Then they make their pick, and it seems to just melt away. And so you see the other guys that were mentioned in that space where the team might pick in actual season. What's it like for you to try and get yourself prepared for a Bears draft that's a little different than most because of all of the different directions they can go?
Yeah, I always come back to one question that I ask myself, and I ask myself this in all situations at all times, regardless of the circumstances, what would I do? And it comes down to what's the most logical decision that you could make if your job was to make the Bears a winning team as soon as possible. Hmm. And especially if your job is maybe at stake in making that decision. Sort out everything else. What makes the most sense? The thing that makes the most sense to me is helping Caleb Williams by fortifying the offensive line.
I get it. I get it. It's interesting because honestly, I think, at least I do, Lawrence, in our jobs, I add, what would I do to what do I think they're going to do?
Yeah.
And then end up delineating those two things sometimes. Like, you might be right about tackle, but man, what would I do? I think I'd go tight end and get Tyler Warren and give myself a toy to play with.
Well, in another way, theoretically, that you could help Caleb Williams.
Yeah, well, that's true. So how will you feel about that decision if that's where they go, Jason?
Which one? Tyler Warren?
Yeah, Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State who could play in the slot, could be a weapon for Ben Johnson's creativity.
I just don't think that they can do that. I don't think that they're good enough as a 5-12 team that made some moves in the offseason, but I don't think they're good enough to make what would look like a luxury pick to me.
Do you feel the same way? You feel the same way about running back in that regard?
Yes. I think that you still have needs. When Ryan Poles said a month ago or so that because of the moves they made in the offseason, the draft is wide open for them at 10, I don't agree with that. I think that if they take an offensive tackle at 10, then the draft is wide open for them in the second round. Then I couldn't really argue with really anything they do in the second round as long as they address what's a pretty clear need to me at offensive tackle.
Where does the growth come from for Rome Odunze from year one to year two, in your opinion?
Probably in the way that he's used by Ben Johnson and in Caleb Williams' improvement and accuracy as a passer, which, man, you really think that that will come back because that's always been a hallmark of his game. Rome Odunze came in last year into the same kind of iffy situation that Caleb did, where the offensive line is not reliable, so you can't count on the quarterback having time. The coaches are incompetent, so you can't count on the scheme really working in your favor. And he's also navigating what appeared much of the time to be an unhappy Keenan Allen and some of the time to be an unhappy DJ Moore at his position. So I think fixing some of those things will definitely help. Rome Odunze, the individual, really was pretty polished and pretty good from the start. He reminded me a lot of Darnell Mooney when they drafted him. And Darnell Mooney came in as a fifth-round pick, not just in his approach. I'm not comparing the player types. But Darnell Mooney came in as a fifth-round pick. And just like that, I mean, by the end of OTAs, had pretty much pulled even with or overtaken Anthony Miller, who had been there a couple of years. When you have a player like that who is also top 10 pick talent from the beginning, like Rome Odunze, man, the potential is just limitless.
We appreciate the time as always, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Happy drafting to all of us.
Yeah, man. It's fun. I love the differences of opinion all day long on this station.
It's been good.
Yeah, he strongly doesn't think that they can do a luxury pick like tight end or running back. I fear the luxury pick of running back, but I don't fear it of tight end. I guess that's because I think Tyler Warren is so special as compared to other tight ends, and I'm not so sure about Genty to other running backs.
Are we, as much as we've talked about the multiple positions, are we ready for the swerve? Like, are we ready for the Bears doing the thing that we didn't expect them to do?
They got
to
swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, yes. Whoa. Yeah, that's Chuck's job. I don't know, man. The Darnell Wright clarity about
Swerve in that corner. Whoa, 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 whoa.
The Darnell White clarity about the possible tackle swap has reopened tackle for me in some ways. It's kind of made me think about it in a different way.
Well, someone else has got some draft thoughts, Speaks.
Who is that,
Someone that we need to check in on. on the morning show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we should do that next on The Score.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.